Welcome back to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I'm CDJ, joined full strength here with Tommy and JB Huskers. Guys, how's it going?
Doing pretty well, pretty well.
Doing great good.
Great to have the whole gang back together.
Is spring arrived where you're at, Tommy? Fake spring is here where we're at in the Midwest.
We had a big snow this past week, and then we're starting to get somewhat warmer weather, so I don't think we're going to have any more like snow, but we may have some cold snaps here and there.
That's where I'm thinking for us as well. So before we talk about the wishlist tournament, something we've done with the Gaming Tailgate for years now, going back to NCAA football, I do want to ask you guys, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, because I did not tell you I was going to do this. How would you rate College World 25 now that it's all but in the books? And you can give it a score, you can give it a summation. Just tell me, kind of what would you rate or give it now that we finally have gotten in? There's no more speculation with it.
In terms of a number score, I'd probably give it like an 8 out of 10, which is pretty solid. I mean, that means it's a game that I want to play, sort of thing. It's not perfect, but it's definitely a game that, you know, I think everybody that has any interest should experience it. Comparing it to the past, I think it is in some ways better than 14, but in some ways obviously way lacking behind 14. It is kind of a first iteration on, you know, let's call it modern of this generation. And so I can understand it being a little bit missing, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of a start. And then now I will say that EA has always had the chance to get it right every year, and they've never gotten it perfect. 14 was really, really good, but at the same time, they always had little things that I wish they would fix, or I wish they would change, or things like that. So hopefully they've kind of heard some of our feedback, not ours directly, but community in general. Yeah, for sure. And can put that towards 26.
Give it an 8 as well. I'm having a lot of fun with the gamers. Obviously, a few annoyances with it, little things. You know, there's some gameplay things that maybe need to be tweaked or cleaned up, so to speak. But overall, having a lot of fun with it, having a lot of fun with our online dynasty, which, you know, we just kicked off our, what is it, fifth year now or fourth
fifth
year?
Season.
Yeah.
Yes, yep.
We're chugging along on that pretty good. A lot of good competitions, a lot of good user matches that have been streamed, and a lot of fun we've had on that. You know, I basically, that's about what you could ask for with this game, is have fun with it, and just, you know, some minor things that may need addressed, and see if there's anything new they kind of add for 26. But I think it's a very solid game that's been a lot of fun to play, considering it's been away for quite a while.
There's two different numbers I would give it. If I had to go on Metacritic and somebody put a gun to my head and said, what would you rate it on Metacritic? I'd probably give it a 7. But if I had to say my level of enjoyment, I'd probably say 8 or 9. You know, we're 5 years into Dynasty, putting hundreds of hours with it. You don't play a game that many hours and not really enjoy it or give it a high score. But I also recognize what it's lacking at the same time, where I think for year one, people can look past it. But if we have all these same issues, and we'll talk about some of those here in a little bit, like quality of life issues, missing features, shallow features, that 7 or 8 score, I would think for a lot of people, is probably going to drop quickly. So it's like they've got a, and it's only JB and I talked about, gosh, now what, 4 years ago, JB, when they announced the game was coming back, we said, you know, the goodwill is never going to be higher at this point, and it's only going to go one way, just because we're going to go back to reality. The game's coming out. We're going to see the flaws, going to see the bugs. If a lot of those issues don't get fixed for the hardcore guys like us, that goodwill drops like a rock. But if the 26 comes out and it's a lot of those get addressed or fixed or built upon, then that number's going to stay pretty high, I think, for a lot of people, myself included.
Yeah, I think you made a perfect point. If this game was the second or third year of the series, then no, it wouldn't be an 8 for me, by no means. But again, by being the first coming back after 11-year hiatus, to me, I can give it an 8. It kind of came in strong. It just has a lot. Like, once you start to peel back the layers and look behind the curtain a little bit more, you start to see where those flaws are. And like you said, a lot of it quality of life, but a lot of it just things that EA needs to fix for 26.
I think there should be an expectation that the sales are going to be lower, because I think a lot of casual fans went out and got it because it had been 10 years. But I don't know if a lot of casual fans are going to want to pick up every iteration of the game. So it's going to be interesting to see what EA labels in terms of success, when the expectation is not everybody is going to get another copy. How are they going to be able to reintroduce new players as well, or introduce new players to the game as well?
I think you bring up a good point there, that lot of sports fans. I'm trying to think back to, previous articles I've read. It seems like what's the stat? Every year and a half, every 2 years is when people typically the average person buys it. I know that doesn't apply to us because we're going to go out and buy it day one. So that does not apply to us, and it probably doesn't apply to anybody listening to us. However, I think for the lot, and I know people who play the game casually who they said, man, that hype, they recognize that hype was just so high last year. That 11-year return, they had to get it. They wanted to be there. I'm like you, and we talked about this last week. We think the sales will go down. It's just interesting if it's going to be a 5% drop or is it going to be a bigger drop? Maybe it won't even be that much. It'll be really interesting to see how they handle it and what EA does to market and reach those people who maybe the ones who didn't get it or bought it late or the people who got into the hype. Maybe they can say, hey, it's going to be even better this year. You're going to want to be on, back on this boat one more time.
For me, I think that the 5% drop is probably too low. I mean, I think it's going to be a pretty big drop. I mean, honestly, I think it's a quiet majority that doesn't buy the game year over year. They don't follow, EA on every account. They don't go out and read Reddit, those kind of things. So I'm thinking like 25% drop, maybe more, just because A, it's the first year back, and B, it's the first year with college players, those kind of things. So now, do the college players coming back next year, presumably, does that bring everyone back and say, hey, I want to see my favorite player now in the game this year? But we'll have to wait and see.
Do you think they should go to like a 2 year cycle and then like at the beginning of the year just drop a roster update? Or, obviously, there's people that have invested time with their dynasties and things and what and may not want to start over. Do you think that there's more value in potentially doing it that way?
For me personally, I've kind of suggested that myself, that yeah, do it every other year. Maybe, they'll never do it, but do Madden 1 year and college football the next, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
But the only thing is you'd still have to have some features, patches, fixes, whatever in between, just not nearly as big as a full release. But definitely obviously roster updates and things like that. So the only thing is how do you monetize that between years? So do you have to purchase the patch for, 2.0 or whatever it is, or, those kind of things? They're not going to do all of that and provide 2 years of support for a game without any additional money coming in from it.
Not under the licensing they'd have to pay in that meantime for all those schools and players and whatnot. I understand the people who want the every other year with sports games, but until somebody does it successfully, I don't want college football to be the first. I want somebody else to do it and show me it'll work first before I want it in this game. Maybe that's the wrong attitude to have, but I just, and given EA's track record this year in 25 with patches, how they seem to bring back issue or bring issues in or sometimes bring back issues they fixed in a previous patch. I'm very leery of that mod. I understand why people want it. I'm just very leery of it.
The only thing I would say is that, yeah, you would probably have the same patch schedule that you have today, but then they would wait and do another big push in, the summer just before the game would normally launch or something like that. Obviously, that could introduce new bugs and things like that, but I would think that would give them a lot more time to make sure that it's solid and ready to roll out and everything. Again, who knows?
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen anytime soon, but it is an interesting discussion. And I'd love to know internally what they think, because we're never going to know until some company bites the bullet and finally does it.
Absolutely.
Something we do at the gaming tailgate, we did it every year the last few years of NCAA football. We started doing it now. Again, we asked the community on our Twitter account, at Gaming Tailgate. We went through and asked a lot of different game categories, gameplay, dynasty, new features, ultimate team, so on and so forth. We finished the gameplay bracket, and we do want to recap this. We don't want to necessarily go round by round, matchup by matchup. But I think there's some things that are worth interesting to talk about. And the second part of the show, we're going to give a brief preview on the Dynasty bracket. The Dynasty bracket, just to give a little tease, there's probably about 75, give or take, items that I personally have seen, significant mention or traction amongst the community, whether it be on Twitter, on Reddit, things that we've run into. So it's a massive field. The gameplay was a little cleaner. We could get that down to about 32 main items. So a little, clean bracket, easy to do. Number one overall seed, the item that, and I don't think there's even much debate about this, the item that most people, gameplay wise, wanted, formation subs. That was the one that I suppose you could argue it's in the game technically because it's on a certain part of the play call. It was just an act of God to do it. You couldn't, didn't have the time to do it. People went on that main menu. It wins the whole tournament.
Yes, everybody loves to mention formation subs, but to me, Madden players have been asking for that for years because even when NCAA had like formation subs that you could make outside of the gameplay. I don't think Madden has ever had that. So, I think it's one of those things that EA, for whatever reason, decides that it's not necessary. But to me, what trumps formation subs, and it's not been discussed as much, so people probably don't think about it as much, but is that custom packages. To me, that would practically have no need for formation subs. You basically would be able to customize all of the packages that are with a formation to where that becomes your formation subs. That to me is a huge feature. It should be quote unquote easy to implement. And then as well, it gives you all of the benefits of formation subs, but better, because then you can do formation subs on certain different levels and different packages and things like that. So I would love to see custom packages.
Do you think that's an item that maybe doesn't get as far as it would otherwise because you've never had it? We've had formation subs, so people know what they're getting. Custom packages, I think, I mean, we go off by what people like you who are passionate about it say. Would it be easier to sell it if we had seen a version of it, if that makes sense?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, formation subs, everybody knows exactly what NCAA had there, so that's what everybody's expecting it to be, and that's what they want to come back. But you're right, custom packages, if you just leave that there, some people don't even know about packages, period, in the game. So it's kind of it's something that you would have to kind of explain to a little bit of the casual gamer that doesn't sit and think about this, and doesn't have podcasts or doesn't listen to podcasts about it. So I mean, you would kind of have to sell this to some of those fans, but honestly, I think it would be huge. And honestly, that's a back of the box feature in my mind.
I don't know. It a lot of the casual people, it's like you got to wonder if the majority of people even mess with the depth chart, let alone packages and things like that. Got to wonder. But like what I thought, like wear and tear, I think was huge because it like sounded so great when they announced it, and then it really didn't do anything really to affect
Right.
your team. I maybe if you run a guy 30 times in a row, you might see your backup in there. But yeah, it was kind of weird. So that's one I definitely want to would really like to see is because it sounded so good and I was excited for it and excited to game plan for it. And then you get go into it and you realize you really didn't have to game plan for it at all.
It was tough to kind of see the wear and tear as you're playing because there wasn't time to make those quick changes, and it didn't really feel like they ever really got hurt or fatigued. I don't know. I think the idea was solid. And I don't know about you guys, but there's personally, I never felt much fatigue. But once in a while, I'll see somebody on Reddit or Twitter who will say that they saw too much. They saw that, one big hit into a game, running back gets hit and gets ratings with a massive drop. And I've never seen that part of it. So I don't know. But I mean, it seems like a lot, most people didn't see much, but there's a small group out there that did see it, but they saw the pendulum on the other side. They thought it was way too severe. So it is an interesting discussion about. Where does it need to go?
Yeah, I mean, I am one of the people that saw it. In fact, our my first week zero game of our Online Dynasty this season, one of my star receivers got hit pretty early in the game, and so he was down to like two blocks left of his wear and tear or whatever, and so he was still in the game, but he didn't seem as fast, didn't seem like he could, do as much as he normally could. So, immediately after the game, I went to see if he. How bad it was, and if he it was still there, and it was still there after the game. I didn't check this week. He had a breakout game this week, so obviously he got better. But at the same time, it's definitely something that's there. They need to improve upon it. They need to have that also factor into how, like, for example, injuries. Injuries should happen more often. They should be related to wear and tear. And then if you have a player that's just kind of a little bit hobbled, but he's not injured to be taken out of the game, that you at least still see that highlighted somewhere, other than just seeing on the field or whatever. So
Yeah, there's a
it's
real
almost
long
like they should show up under injuries. Sorry, go ahead, JB.
there's a real lack of long-term injuries in the game too, especially in the dynasty. I don't think I've seen a guy an injured guy on the injury screen in my dynasty. I've had people sit out for a few plays or a couple of series, but I don't think I've seen anybody on my injury screen in the main dynasty menu at all. Since the game started this past year. I don't.
I haven't seen it much, but I did have one of my backup offensive linemen get sit out for like 20 weeks or something like that, and it carried over into the next season. Like he got injured late in the season, carried over, and so it didn't count the weeks correctly. Like he wasn't healed
Oh.
by the time the next season started up.
Because
So
it counts the offseason as 1 week versus
yeah.
the, what is it, 13 or something it should be approximately. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but isn't that the problem? It counts it
Yeah,
as one,
absolutely.
not
Yeah, it
double
yeah.
digit.
I mean yeah, it should be. I mean, if you're talking about from February to,
August.
September,
Yeah.
yeah, August, yeah. I mean that,
That's
yeah.
yeah, it's like 20 something weeks, isn't it, at least, if not.
Yeah, more than that probably even. But yeah, I mean, again, at the end of the day, a lot of this is kind of the first version of it is good for being a first version. But they've definitely got to address some of these things and kind of improve them. And one of the things that has not been touched in so long, I'm glad to see that it did make it all the way to the finals, is the improved CPU logic. To me, that is huge. The CPU it does not know how to call a game plan. They don't know how to stick to a game plan. They don't know how to highlight their star players, those kind of things. I was playing UCF in our dynasty today, and their running back was tearing me up in the first half. Granted, they weren't scoring a lot of points, but they basically all but abandoned that until the fourth quarter. So it's kind of, on one hand, there should be good and bad CPU coaches, but there should be some good CPU coaches.
Yeah, I was playing Ball State, and I think they passed the first three or four series. They didn't really start running regularly until they were down by like three or four scores. Then they started running the ball. I was like, that makes no sense at all. They didn't even start the game running at all until maybe the second quarter. Then they finally regularly, they're already down big, and now they're starting to run first, second, and third down. It's like, this doesn't make any sense.
So that was the gameplay tournament. I would recommend you follow at Gaming Tailgate on Twitter for when you begin the Dynasty Wishlist Tournament. What are going to be the top items? These are the items that I think we've seen more often than not across the community from day one to now, 6, 7 months after release, whether it be on social media or be on Reddit. It's quite a wide range of items, and it's going to be interesting to see which ones advance through the tournament. As we mentioned early on, there's like 70 plus really good items that if they get announced by EA, there's going to be a lot of people in the crowd and the community really happy about. Which of these will emerge? These, in my opinion, at least, really the big ones that really stood out. And if you guys want to go through all of them, or we just skim through some of them, the big one I thought right at launch or even before launch, when it wasn't known or discussed, online Dynasty crossplay. Is that something that I think is great for like us because we have a lot of guys, some guys on Xbox who wanted to play in our Dynasty, but we didn't feel like it happened to different dynasties. We don't always have a PlayStation and an Xbox. It'd be interesting to see how that would stacks up when he actually gets in a head-to-head matchup by itself. Tremendously wanted, and I think it'll be in anyway. But it is worth if if we had to, as a community, vote over another feature, how far would it get?
It's so commonplace now in every game too, that you see. So
And that was going to be part of my argument is that I wouldn't waste a vote on it because it's going to be in almost. It deserves to be in by all means, 100%. It's just that I think that that's already going to be in the game. EA is already doing it for other games, so why wouldn't they do it for college football? So yeah, I think that's going to get in pretty much guaranteed. If I had that versus another item, then I'm probably not going to vote for crossplay only because of
That's skewing the votes, Tommy. That's not right, man.
that.
No, your logic is sound. Trophy room. This is one that it realistically can go, I think, into several different categories. It could be a new feature because it also goes into you could use it in, play now if you win a trophy in that mode, or if you win a trophy, say, in an online matchup. But I think this is where people really want to see it is in their dynasty. They want to build up a program, see that trophy gaze go from empty to full. And I think the key part of this also, in addition to just having the trophies, is make sure this can be shared on social media, that it looks good when you take that screenshot. So I can take that and show that and rub it in your guys' face when I finally get a bowl trophy and you guys don't have one, for example, or something like that. I think that's the big part with a lot of things they do, especially presentation-wise. You gotta have that social element. But the trophy room here, I think, is specific to Dynasty because people want to build that program and showcase what they've done in one screenshot.
Absolutely. I mean, it goes to the rest of the whole dynasty, and I'm sure we've got something on here for it, but just expand everything in Dynasty as far as being able to see the history of it, to be able to see how things connect, to be able to, just have a feeling of this is more than just one season. Really, it seems like every year you're just concerned about that season. Can you guys tell me who in our dynasty have won national championships? I can tell you only because I have an idea, but otherwise, how would you go and find it?
Tommy wants that so he doesn't have to type it out every year.
I mean, that's the thing too. Yeah.
That is one of the things. It's not mentioned on here, but it is a something I've seen a lot and will be high in the field, is they want that historical. That could be in terms of just stat keeping. It could be just a tab, a menu you look at. There's also been a lot of requests for the commentary to reference it. One example being if you are coming off a season where you won a national title, mention that. Have the commentary mention that during your game. These guys are the defending champions. Put that pressure on the user. Put pressure on both users. If you know you're playing against the defending champs, kind of increase that pressure of going against a great team or a great program. Like you said, it's like right now we're in a series of 30 individual seasons that the only carryover really are the players. And I'm not even sure that that necessarily is a carryover when you can axe a player at any time. If you recruit somebody better, it depends if you develop that connection to keep them on that roster. But otherwise, there's really no thread among those 30 seasons. NIL, this is a big one. Requested a lot. I don't know how EA does it. It's one of those that people, they want to feel like they're swaying recruits with money. It's one that it's highly requested. I don't know how EA does it until we get a uniform structure in college football.
Yeah, I would almost want to wait until there's some sort of players union to do something like that, because the rules are so wide open today that EA wouldn't really have a good way of to me implementing that without just simply basically being pay for play sort of thing. To me, I that's not high up on my list. I don't like NIL in the first place, in real college football, but at the same time, it's obviously part of it, so it needs to be here. But the only way I could see EA doing something would be doing kind of like they do in the Road to Glory, to where you have local, establishments that reach out to the player or whatever, and the higher profile program, then you kind of have an agreement with certain national brands or something like that. That's the only way I could really see something like that. I mean, having the collectives, I guess maybe you could have that, but that would still just end up being, how would you compare, Alabama versus, I'm trying to think, Clemson or something like that. I mean, as far as their collective goes,
Because they're going
it's
to be reflected the best in the game, but then in real life, they act like they don't have any money, so they spur the fans to donate more. So,
exactly.
and then you have also the dilemma of, and maybe I'm going on a limb here, but I think my perception is that EA does not do a good job with Madden when it comes to users having to spend money and do the financials of a franchise mode. That makes me very leery of including anything like that in this game, NIL, where you have to budget money and spend money. It's not fun in real life to balance your budget and go through and do that each week. It's not fun in Madden. I don't know how it would be fun here. I guess the one thing, if you want it in your game now, you just pretend that the hours during the portal, for example, just pretend that unit's money and leave it at that. Just pretend it's money versus hours and you have it. But I understand it's a very highly requested item.
It's going to
Yeah, I
probably,
mean,
it also would cause a lot of unfair advantages. I mean, you're going to have some teams with unlimited money that's going to end up getting all the five stars and shut everybody else out.
that kind of happens today, but at the same time, in the dynasty, you're supposed to be the coach, and in reality, technically the coach isn't supposed to be the one that's selling NIL, it should be coming from your team, but you, in that scenario, you in reality shouldn't have any control over it. You can go and tell the collective that, hey, we really want this guy, go and talk to him, but that's, again, I'm not a fan of it in general, so
It'll be a tough ad, but I'm glad it's EA's problem, not mine.
yeah.
Improved coach customization and appearance. This is one that when the game came out, I'm sure we said on this show, you go to make your coach in Dynasty, for example, and there's like two shirt options. And I think I made the comment, well, I'm sure they're gonna patch in more later. There's no way they would put that out at release with just the two, what is it, the sweater and a windbreaker, and that is it. And that, no, that's all we had all year. And on Reddit, it's funny. One of the comments, every so often it emerges, it pops back up. Somebody says, these options are terrible. They didn't really care for the faces in terms of it's like the same face and just different levels of blonde or gray in their face or their hair. And they say the big one is when you go into Dynasty, that Dynasty logo has a headset and you can't even put a dang headset on your coach. It's one of those, I hadn't thought of it that way till I read it on Reddit. Like, they have a point there. I mean, they do have a point. I think this stuff will be in there. But again, it was so poor in 25. I can see why it's highly requested.
Definitely, it's something they have to improve upon. It's very shallow, very bare. In my opinion, Madden's is not much better.
I agree.
So I don't have very high hopes on how far they're going to go.
Would you
You
say
know,
14 was better?
it's
Obviously better than
somewhat,
this year in
yes,
25,
but
but would you say Madden's, would you say NCAA 14 is better than Madden's? I'm just curiosity. I'm not putting you on the spot.
No,
I'm not going to really clue you if you say yes or no.
I would say they're poor in different ways. They're both poor in different ways. So, maybe I would say, yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, part of it is 14 is, you know, ages ago, and the graphics
Right.
were
That's true.
so much weaker that it's hard to compare the two personally.
Least they had more clothing options, which alone was
Yeah.
a big help. Transfer Portal 2.0. This is one that I think is going to go far in the tournament. Just so many things here that people have mentioned. One right out of the gate, you're locked out of a lot of players and you don't know why. I mean, you can tell yourself a story and say, hey, my collective reached out. The other collectives, other schools already got their mitts into this guy. But people want to have a chance at everybody theoretically. It's interesting. Yeah, plus the number of the movement involved in real life. In my opinion, it feels like, you know, like the Sun Belt All Conference guys. I think there's a chart of this actually this year. Almost all the Sun Belt All Conference players enter the portal and are gone. So it really needs to be those top lower conference guys bailing for opportunities at bigger schools, whereas then it's reserves at those bigger schools going down to the small schools to try to get starting roles or at least playing time. I mean, there's some of that in the game, but I feel like it's a fraction of what it really is. And I feel like that's what the community says in their feedback about this as well.
To me, it 100% falls to the deal breakers. Those have to become dynamic somehow. Yeah, you start out wanting to be close to home as a freshman, but then as you get better and better and better, you're not going to still want to stay close to home. You're going to
Right.
want to go to that big school and make a name for yourself and everything. And then on top of that, the playing time, if you are a senior and there's a true freshman starting ahead of you, you're not going to stick around. You know, or why are you going to want to stick around? So it's kind of one of those things that it has to be dynamic and it has to kind of fluctuate. Now, not every senior is going to transfer in that scenario. There are going to be some that they really like the school, and so fine, I'll stay. But if there's a chance for them to go and start somewhere else, they're probably going to want to go and leave and find greener pastures.
I think also part of this is people want the encouraged transfers to happen before the portal. It's one of those I thought we were kind of old. I thought maybe I have to go back and look during the development blogs that players you encourage to transfer would end up in the portal. And I just still don't know if we have an answer on that. I've seen people online say, yes, they do. No, they don't. Then I've seen if it's a freshman or sophomore, they end up somewhere else. If they're a junior or senior, they disappear from the game. I still don't know what happens there. But so I think I see where people say encourage transfers needs to be earlier. So that way, if I push somebody out into the portal, I want to make sure it comes back and can bite me in the butt.
There must be a section of disappearing players and coaches because it does that in coaches too. I lost my offensive coordinator and it didn't say where he went. I was like,
I've seen that too. That's annoying.
they must be all in some kind of a portal that you gotta put the Konami code in to access in the game or something.
They're in
All
the
the
phantom
players,
zone.
yeah, all the players and coaches.
I've not dug into it, but what I've read is that if you cut a player, then the starting alphabetically, the teams that have openings on their rosters will take that those players in. So like Air Force and you know Army and so forth, they're going to get a lot of those transfers coming into their team.
There's a
So if
joke
you
there. I'd be
cut
saying like they take the loss so hard they just go join the military. They're ready to go fight overseas after getting cut and being let go.
absolutely. I mean that's the thing is the weaker teams that don't have enough to fill up a recruiting class are going to have openings and so they're going to take those. So if you cut that 99 overall guy and he ends up going to the military, then you know we've got a new Heisman candidate running it out in Air Force. So
EA loves their alphabet, don't they? When it comes to this and tiebreakers, if that's right, wow. News Stories 2.0. I think the theme with this one is people want to really know what's going on in the Dynasty in a better way. And a lot of it is the news panels on the main hub in Dynasty pretty lacking. And I'm going to ask you guys this. This is you and the community at large. Is there anyone out there who really likes when one of those panels is the team ratings, like overall offense, defense, and the matchups? To me, I feel like that's the worst and least effective way. I'm sure maybe somebody would disagree with me. That's the one I dislike the most, but then you add in poor grammar, you add in the poor spelling, you add in the unclarity, or you add in the lack of clarity when somebody breaks a record and you only find out on the news story versus in the game. There's just so much missing with these news stories they could do better. And the community says that a lot as well.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I'm dating myself here, but I used to love the NBA Live pregame to where you would list the positions and kind of compare the two side by side. So, you would have a starting center that, was a five star or whatever, and their starting center is a one star. And so you can kind of see the strengths and weaknesses side by side, not just overall offense and defense, but rather the position by position. So,
Because often defense numbers don't tell you anything because you don't know a scheme they run, you don't know personnel. It's the biggest waste of any of it, and that's saying something because the whole thing's kind of weak.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
A lot of that stuff doesn't even pertain to you either.
right.
So it's
Yeah.
like
Yeah,
if
that's the.
they'd make something interesting that would pertain to you and give you interesting information, just of anybody in the dynasty, just news from anybody in the dynasty, but instead it's just random scores and things like that. And it's it I you know I just ignore it now all the time. But
One of the other items in the tournament field is, and that will come back to you, Tommy, is the improved ticker, because the ticker also doesn't tell people really what they want. It's half broke in terms of it doesn't give you the information you want. It doesn't scroll what you want. If the game is final, you don't get any stats. But I've seen people in the community on the news stories and the ticker. Some say they want more of a national feel. Some say I want the option. If I'm in the Sun Belt, for example, I don't really care about the top 25. If I'm rebuilding, I want to focus just on Sun Belt. Is the answer, at least to some of this, a setting? You pick what you want the focus to be to tell the game where to go start getting that information.
yeah, that would be great. The other side of that, and kind of similar to what JB was saying, is if you have a multi-user dynasty, make it to where I'm seeing information and news from those other users, like as a focus. If you're a solo dynasty, okay, yeah, make it national or conference ranked, whatever, but definitely tie it into my interest somehow or another. But to me, as soon as you've got three, four, five users, you want to know what that other guy's doing. Whether they're playing their game right that moment or played earlier in the day, or, if nothing else, just seeing who their matchup is. I could not tell you who all the teams are playing this week other than
Right.
going out and looking at the member screen.
And it's buried. Realistically, that's
Yeah,
buried.
exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes in the end game, like the studio update with Kevin Connors, sometimes you'll get stories and stuff that is with guys in your conference or in the dynasty, but I come across it sometimes, but not enough, so to speak.
Yeah,
But
I mean, it shows up, especially like in the ticker. It'll say user game or whatever, even if it's just a user
yeah.
versus CPU. But at the same time, it doesn't show all of the user games, and it doesn't show, the most important user game or something like that.
At the same time, I'm hardly ever looking at the ticker anyways when I'm playing, so
Part of that's poor design, though.
I'm having a hard time enough playing, let alone looking at something on scrolling on the bottom of the screen.
It was interesting, like ESPN, for example, like the winning team is like a highlighter yellow. It stands out. There's nothing on that ticker now that stands out. It's all black with gray, and that's it. There's nothing to catch your eye quickly, like on 14, for example. I think that's one of the drawbacks of no ESPN license. And typically, I'm indifferent on the ESPN part of it, but ESPN does that stuff so well. All the broadcast, I think, companies do that so well that EA trying to make their own version didn't really get the nuance right. Kind of tying in with the game stories and getting the information out there is the game preview screen, something that we had in NC Football 14, something you go to look at, the statistical rankings. And people have the community has kind of said more of a modern version. Maybe it tells you key players, like Tommy mentioned earlier. Maybe it tells you formations, things like that. Because right now, if you just hop into Dynasty and don't go do digging on your own, you don't know what you're getting into. You're going in the game and you better hope you can handle it. Otherwise, I know personally, if I'm playing a computer or a person, I have to go look at, maybe team stats or player stats and then try to figure out what their scheme is from that. But I still don't know formations and I still don't know some other things, but you still have to dig to get any kind of basics. That'd be nice if that was brought to the forefront.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it like gave you their tendencies or their percentages of plays, deep pass, short pass, swing pass, rush, things like that. Just kind of percentages of what they're, that'd be very cool to see ahead of, and not necessarily. I mean, are you talking about going into the game or something that's on the menu?
When 14, it was basically you hit a triangle on one of those screens and it brought up the like rush offense and it would give the
Yeah.
yards per game and rank, et cetera. Just something like that as people have asked for. And that all screen also had it where back in the good old days of NCAA 14, it had Kirk's icon for his pick as well. Back in the day, Corso as well, but he was removed and Kirk's picture remained. So there's all sorts of things they could do with it. Tommy, what would you like to see with this that we're not thinking of, or maybe the community's mentioned we haven't mentioned?
An easy one to do would be kind of a solid screenshot that A, you could share to social media or something like that, but then as well use as a thumbnail for any of your online games that you're hosting or whatever, for like YouTube or something like that. I always take a screenshot of kind of the matchup or whatever as best I can, but if they had that prepackaged for me, then that would be so much easier and so much better. And again, it gives people an idea of what they're going into and everything. So
We're seeing it with people in our dynasty. They're using AI, and that's something EA could do, is use AI to generate a kind of a text preview of the game. I think that would be something that would be really cool to see as well. Just to add, especially with online dynasties, to add immersion with your fellow competitor.
Absolutely. I mean, they have all the data at hand, so there's no reason that they couldn't, extract that and then again generate an AI preview of some kind, whether that's just a short blurb or it shows the key points. It doesn't show just everything the same way every time. Instead, it shows that one team runs the ball the other time and the other team is the number one defense, and so it highlights that piece or something like
Yeah,
that.
it'd be kind of cool. Maybe maybe somebody's running back's hot. So and so has rushed for 130 yards his past three games. Things like that, trends, things that streaks that people are going on. It'd be kind of cool to something that I think that AI could be used and implemented in this case to kind of generate something immersive for the group of players you're playing with.
And I think it really fits in well if they ever bring back Dynasty Wire for the game recaps. Because before you had to do it manually. If the AI could do that recap itself, that'd be a whole new level of immersion to go back to read how the game had played out. Like right now in our Dynasty, we do that manually, like in our Discord. We'll imagine, just imagine if it was on Dynasty Wire and anybody could come look at it or another user. As soon as the game is done, basically that article is written for you.
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty cool ad.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Pipelines 2.0, and the big aspect of this I've seen the community mention is they want this dynamic. They want it similar to what we had in 14, where, if you get a lot of recruits out of a certain region, get the benefit of it, especially if it's not a pipeline. If you've earned it, reap the rewards. Guys, how do you view the pipeline feature as we have it in 25?
My first thought is how often in real life did those change very much? I mean, obviously you get in a new coach come in and he has a connection to another state, so yeah, he can get some inroads there, but it's not like they're going to all of a sudden start finding players and only players from that state or whatever. That's what I always saw in the past, is that somebody in Wyoming would form a pipeline to Florida, and now all of a sudden they've got a huge pipeline into Florida. That, I mean, to me, that's not entirely realistic. Now, I don't want it to stay static like it is today. I at least want to have a better understanding and on what I can do to control it or something like that. But so definitely there needs to be improvement there. I just want to have some dynamic in the sense of some growth, but not dynamic in the sense of you can recruit an entire team from, halfway across the country.
What if it had I've thought about that as well, and I agree with you. I think I'm more, I'd rather have it be too dynamic versus too static. What if there, and this is a different item, we need more features and settings and sliders. What if you could pick what became a new pipeline? It shows how many players, three or four player, Florida players to Wyoming. It shouldn't necessarily give you a huge leg up to have a massive pipeline. But what else? And if you put in the work and got six or eight players, then I could kind of see it. But it's got to be a barrier tough to even start with, and then another hurdle to make it officially a pipeline. How they do
I would
that, I
say,
don't know. But at least a setting or option, something. I mean, we're spitballing here.
make it a multi-year requirement. You got five or six or seven or eight guys in consecutive years, then maybe you can make it a pipeline. But also make it tie it to you can't do it unless your coach level's at a certain level as well. Make that a perk within your
That would be
coaching
nice.
to have that unlocked, so to speak. But also, I think making it a multi-year, multi-season requirement would probably be the best thing there, because then it's still a challenge. You can't just jump in and be a pipeline into Texas if you are Utah State and just by getting a couple of guys. So yeah, making it a multi-year would, I think, maybe put a little challenge into it as well.
Yeah, I mean, if I recruit eight guys from Florida in 1 year, does that give me a pipeline? Or because they're on my roster for the next 4 or 5 years, But at the same time, if I never recruit another player from Florida, do I truly have a pipeline? To me, it
Right.
should have to be something that's multi-year and that you show you're committed to going to that state and you get the rewards for showing that commitment.
So basically X total and then Y per year, minimums maybe.
Something,
Something along those lines. But we all agree though, we don't like the static method. Is that, I mean, there's gotta be some, the user gotta have some say in it.
I
Just
agree. Again, it's hard. I mean,
depending how they do it, of course.
I don't mind the way it is today, in all honesty. I want to understand it a little bit better because
Right. They've
do
never
I get
explained
much
it.
influence or, that kind of thing? But at the same time, yeah, it's to me, I don't mind if they keep what we have as long as it's well explained and I understand it correctly.
Right. 60-year dynasty. This is one that's very interesting because this is what we had in years past. This year, I believe, it's just a 30-year dynasty. And it kind of there's kind of two issues with it. One, the guys who really grind it out and play through the 30 years are disappointed because they don't get the full 60 like we had in the past. The second part, when I read their comments, say on Reddit, for example, is they're disappointed that when it ends, it's like a car crash. I mean, it just boom, it's over. There's no pomp and
Congratulations,
yes.
or go out and touch grass, or anything like
Right.
that.
And there's no like, hey, would you like to take this coach and start over? Would you like to have some of your players become coach? Something, anything. It just is very much that's it. And I think that's that the length in addition to the abrupt end seem to be where the frustration comes in at. How will this item fare? There's a lot of people who want it, but I think we'll find out real quick in the bracket how many people actually do it. I know I don't get to 30 years, and that's not to diminish the guys who do. But I'm just saying, if it comes down to a vote, a lot of people who don't get that far are probably going to ignore this one. But I think their feedback and criticism is very warranted.
I completely agree. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to cut it off at 30 years. So it's not like the game keeps so much history year over year that
Right.
it just collects and collects. It's again a 1 year dynasty. At best, you have 5 years of information because you can look at your player's career or whatever. But outside of that, there's no history beyond those 5 years. So why does it matter whether it's 30 years or 60 years or 1,000 years? You're still only playing within that 5 year window, so to speak. Other than if you go back and look at your whole coaching contract, I guess maybe you could see your whole history, but still, there's no reason not to do it. I'm with you. I've never, I think probably the longest I've done is 10 years because I become too good too fast. That's another discussion for
That
another
right,
day,
that's another
but
big issue in the game.
yeah. I mean, I could never do 30 years even. So, yeah, long story short, it's something that I don't think it's going to make it very far. And again, I'm not trying to sway anybody's vote or anything like that. It's just, I think it's one of those things that it's a niche audience.
The numbers will be what hurts it. Like, I think the feedback's warranted. Numbers aren't there to help push it. Doesn't mean EA can't do something small on their end to placate them either.
Absolutely.
Yeah, guys that are probably also just recruit and sim only guys that just want to see how they are. They're basically the AD or not AD, but basically, just kind of it's almost like coach mode, but just for recruiting, and
They're the
they're
recruiting
just
coordinator.
and
No,
yeah, and then
they're Bill Belichick. They let all of their assistant coaches run the whole rest of the
yeah.
program. So,
Yeah. And so they're simming all the games. So there's an easy way to get to 30. And then, yeah, like you said, just says, okay, thanks, bye. So.
Coach Carousel 2.0. This is a big one. Personally, Coach and Carousel was my favorite features back on 14. And I hope I'm not alone here. I can't stand it in 25 between the visuals, between the logic of the job offers. I don't look forward to it. I'm not saying I regret it or hate it or despise it, but I just don't look forward to it when we get to that part of the dynasty. And I think that a lot of people I've seen online say the similar things. They want better offers. The one I've seen a lot is also they want to be able to kind of put their name in a hat for a job. So, for example, I know it would sound weird on the face, but if you think of a real life example, Brian Kelly, you would think would not leave Notre Dame. Well, that LSU job came open. He's like, no. Don't agent. I want that job. Put my name in that hat. Put my name in the hat. I think people want that kind of option for that the storyline part of it for, just give them a chance to go somewhere else they want to go to versus waiting for the computer offers, which frankly are pretty lame. You're a head coach and you're getting OC offers for MAC schools, which I suppose you could say, well, you go the Chip Kelly route. Yeah, but I don't think he didn't go to a MAC school. He went to a Big Ten OC job from a Big Ten head coaching job. So there are a lot of logic and the interface, those tiny, tiny panels with even smaller showing what position they're offering you. This whole thing kind of needs a rework, doesn't it, guys?
Absolutely. It needs an overhaul completely. I hate to say it, but it's basically bare minimum.
It's not even 14. They didn't even get to 14.
No, for sure. They did not any
Mm-hmm.
come anywhere near 14. The offers they give you, the understanding of why, the storylines that come from that, you don't hear anything. Like, all of a sudden you see that you have to hire a new offensive coordinator, but you have no idea why. Did he take another job? Did he step off of a cliff somewhere? Who knows? So it's kind of one of those things that it is just a bare minimum, and that's a have to. I mean, the coaching carousel should be a huge part of the off-season story, but if you don't get an offer yourself, you have no interest in paying attention to it.
It was so much more fun with 14. And with this, it's like, yeah, you don't even get notified when you lose a coordinator either. So, like, unless you're looking at the unless you're going into that screen at that week, you don't have any pop-up that says so and so left. Of course, my OC, I think he evaporated because he didn't show up in the listing of coaches. But
He went to go sell insurance somewhere.
I think so. But I, yeah, it was. It
He's a
just seemed
commentator
to.
somewhere.
It felt like it was a lot more fun in 14.
Yeah.
Where now, and like for the example, like what Chris was just talking about. Well, he just took a team to the playoffs. And he got offered some crap job or at some crap school after he
It was
took a
like,
team to the playoffs.
I think it was my Ohio's OC, I think. I think he offered me the OC job. There's no way that would happen. There's no, I
Yeah.
can't think of any real life example where that would happen.
And I don't know why, but I've been offered a really good offer every single year. I've not taken them because I want to stay with my school. And that's the thing is I should be able to say, no, I'm not interested or whatever. Don't give me all these offers. But at the same time, yeah, it's something that the logic behind why they give you an offer, you have to kind of piece it together that it's based upon your scheme, your offensive defensive scheme, how well you're recruiting, I guess. But then a lot of people said it has to do with your pipeline, with which to me, pipelines don't impact the game enough anyways. So why would that be one of the key factors? Or excuse me,
And
not,
it wouldn't be in real life, that
yeah,
wouldn't be.
exactly. Yeah. And then of course your alma mater plays into that as well, but yet
Or may not as well.
you never get, I've never gotten a job offer from Arkansas State, even though it's been my alma mater in
Yes.
every single one of my dynasties.
I
I
think you
want.
used to in the old ones, you would get like a good chance of getting your alma mater or something in the old ones.
I think 14, like they took a lot of pride in saying, like, your alma mater, make that your dream job in a sense, because you will, there's a good chance you'll get that offer. And I want to
Yeah.
think I read or heard something with this game that they very much come out and said, just because you're alma mater, like a school may not hire somebody who's a, Michigan man, for example, or, alma mater. But like you guys have said, like, it needs to be clear why. But I think if they explained why, then I think we could shoot more holes into the poor logic. Like, SMU is not going to hire somebody just because they had run the 3-3-5. I mean, I don't.
Right.
I mean, the only
I
example I can think of, they
some
had the top defense in the country, head coach left. Maybe they want to keep the continuity, but I don't think the game's going that deep. I think the game is looking surface level, match. Okay, this year, this is the reason we're hiring. That doesn't make sense.
to me, the only schools that really care about that are your military universities for, wanting to stay with the triple option. Georgia Southern's the same way. Hawaii wants to air raid, those kind of things. I can understand it a little bit, but at the same time, Georgia Southern hired a triple option coach that's not a flexbone offense. It's a true shotgun triple option. So they are willing to do things. Georgia Southern should say, are you running your quarterback very much? Those kind of things. Not, do you have this specific playbook?
Yeah, and I like the idea of putting your name in the hat too, because, instead of waiting for them to contact you with low ball offers that you don't want to go to, it'd be a lot more interesting to try to go for ones that you actually want to actually move to. And there just was a level of kind of, I don't know if it was anticipation or just fun. There was just kind of a more of a fun level with how it worked in 14. And now it's just you go to a screen in the off season or towards the off season or the bowl season, and then that's about it. And I don't know, it just there's just a lack of interesting, just a lack of motivation to even get into that. I'd rather just stay where you're at, like what Tommy was saying.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it should be like a conversation you have with your agent somewhere around, conference championship or just before that. You say, if these schools come open, I'm interested. And so your agent goes and talks to them. And then the other side of that is you can have a storyline that the fans hear that you're looking at leaving or something like that. You never know.
Like a drawback, like there's a risk reward.
Exactly. So, and then as well, if two players, two users put in for the same school, ha
That'd be
somehow
fun.
make it, yeah, exactly, make it a competition. Whereas as it is right now, it will not offer the same school to two players. They've locked it in the logic to where it's you one part player can get that offer and that's it.
Does it seem like they just took the easiest route to get it out, over and out, done with?
On a sense, yes. I mean, the logic is very minimal to where they could kind of control it as much as they could from what I can put together. But at the same time, when it comes to coaching carousel, there shouldn't be a lot of locks in to where you cannot get a job offer or something like that.
And isn't it bugged also after week two, you can't get any offers?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I once I heard it was an issue, I paid attention. I've never received an offer after week two of the of that stretch.
I want to say previously, like your best offers were in week three, but I
Yeah,
may be
because
misremembering that. So,
I thought I got the Indiana job from Arkansas State. I thought that was like a week three or four thing for me because I was getting nothing the first 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden they just popped up, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of a, it's a conference upgrade, so I'm going to go for it.
we had somebody in our Undone Dynasty was the one who mentioned it to me. I didn't notice that, but once after he pointed it out to me, I've noticed in the off season since my offers come week one, week two. After that, no offers. Maybe that's coincidental. Maybe just lower chance of getting offers. But they were on the impression it was broke, and that put the bug in my head that it's broke. But if
Yeah,
not, maybe not.
I'm pretty certain Indiana offered me in the last 2 weeks, not the first two.
It wouldn't have been week four, I would guarantee that, because you have to hire your offensive and defensive coordinator in week four. So at best, you would have to accept a job in week three and then hire the scraps left over in week four. That's part of the challenge is that they set it up to where everyone obviously has a job by week four, but at the same time, it's doesn't give you much flexibility. I don't know how you fix that other than opening it up during conference championships or something like that. I mean, by that point in the real world, coaches are starting to entertain other
They
offers.
have their foot out the door sometimes.
Yeah,
There's
absolutely.
coaches who win the conference title or lose it, and then the next day they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, especially Sunbelt schools. It's so rare that the head coach is there by the bowl game. If he's leaving, then he's already gone well before the bowl game.
Deal Breakers 2.0, making them dynamic. Tommy, you mentioned this earlier when we were talking about it. If you want to recap that again, just so we keep with the item in case somebody missed it earlier. This is a big one the community has wanted, and I think you explained it about as well as I've seen it.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be that it's not based upon what their original deal breaker is. It should be something that grows over time. And for example, if you are a senior quarterback and there's a true freshman or even a sophomore that's coming in to start ahead of you, you know you're never going to get to play another snap. So why are you going to stay there? So that again, their playing time, if it was never a deal breaker in the beginning, then it should be by the time that they realize that they're never going to get a chance to play. The same thing should be if you start out and closest to home is your most important thing, but then you shoot up and you become a star athlete, closest to home is probably no longer matters. You care about your brand, you care about playing for a big time coach, those kind of things. So I can understand it being that way when you're recruiting them, but then by the time season three, four of their career, it should be much more dynamic and much more fluid.
Yeah, senior quarterback, second on the depth chart, their playing time should be an A plus, and if they're not playing, then that, and then, yeah, like I said, yeah, just make the the grades dynamic and make it make more sense. Also, it's kind of weird, like when they have a deal breaker, but it doesn't affect you, but then it affects you mid-season. That kind of drives me a little nuts on some things that you can't really control either, where you get locked out of the recruiting mid-season. That kind of drove me nuts a little bit.
But yet you can still get them, even though they lock you out and you can't talk to them for half the
You just
season.
can't
You
progress.
can
You
still
can't
get them.
progress. Yeah,
Yeah.
you just can't progress.
Yeah,
The
that whole
funny
thing
thing is,
needs
JB,
redefined.
the funny thing is, JB, I signed one of my best defensive linemen last year because I got locked out and you had dropped him that same week. So I still ended up signing him.
Dang it. You could have been nice and let him know.
I would have after the fact,
Oh, well.
but I figured there was no way in hell I was going to catch him anyway, so.
There's also the issues like where the senior shows, playing time is a deal breaker and they might be negative. It's like, you're already on my team senior year. That's too dang bad, buddy. You're stuck there. Then you have the issues where graphically they'll say they have a deal breaker, but doesn't show you the grades. I don't know if you've probably seen that on the menus. Like it just doesn't load properly. There's a lot of things that need to be improved. I think I like the idea. The Pro Potential one is completely, the logic needs completely reworked.
Yeah, because
And
it's
that's.
literally, and I don't know if you've realized this, but they calculate that before off-season training, and it's only for that current season. So even if you have some like tremendous improvement in your team, and now you have all 99s, if they weren't all really high rated before the off-season training, it doesn't matter.
And as then the draft just goes by overalls. So basically
Yes.
you better hope your players are all 87 and above to have any chance of getting drafted, which is tough if you're rebuilding. So it doesn't matter if you, yeah, that whole thing needs to be reworked. I hate getting docked on that when I really shouldn't be. I'm already struggling enough with, having the guys getting in the draft. I don't need the game making it worse for me. Another big one from the community, improved computer recruiting logic. This, obviously big in Dynasty, you want the computer to be competitive. It does carry over to other modes. For example, Road to Glory, people have said, they have a great player in themselves that they've made. The computer over the 4 years never gets better because the computer cannot recruit with a darn. That in terms of getting players, in terms of who they go after, stockpiling the wrong positions, just a lot going on there. And of course, with Dynasty mode, I'm sure we've all seen it. We'll have a 4 or 5 star player who gets very little to no interest. You can just basically, if you find them, you can waltz in and have a pretty good chance of getting them. There's also some complaints on the other side of that pendulum where you have a massive lead. And Oregon, for example, that's a school we hear a lot. Oregon comes in last minute and does some kind of massive takeover. That it would be nice to know how that happened. Like, what pitches did they do? What were they doing behind the scenes? There's just so much about the recruiting logic that it either would be fixed to make the computer more competitive or just to know what in the world they're doing would go a long way. And the community has said that pretty loudly throughout the year.
Yeah, they have to learn how to build a roster, and that goes far beyond just that one season's recruiting class. You build for the future, you don't build for next season. I'm fortunate enough now on my roster that I don't play any true freshmen at all, so I'm building for the future. Those all of my true freshmen are getting redshirted. I'm not doing transfers unless there's absolutely a great one that falls on my lap, sort of thing. Don't recruit five quarterbacks in one class. Don't sign a right outside linebacker and then sign three right outside linebackers and have a really weak left outside linebacker. And so the left is still starting just because of his position. They've got to do better about being able to build that roster and grow it over time, and even making some position changes that are realistic by all means, but at the same time, moving offensive linemen around within the five positions. To me, move them to their best position. Move your DBs around a little bit. Move your linebackers within the linebackers. Now, I don't want to see a receiver move to tight end. I hate everyone discussing that
We
one
know
these
that one.
days.
We know that firsthand.
But no, I mean, I'm talking about online even, that there's a lot of
I know.
people think that that's the right way. But
What do you mean my tight end can't have 97 speed?
And why, who cares if he's 5 foot 9? But at the same time, yeah, the CPU needs to do better at being able to build that out, because otherwise they're gonna assign an athlete and that it's only gonna use their default position, even if they're much better at another one.
And the computer can move players around because they do it with my depth chart. And by me, I'm saying everybody else. The computer, when you start a year, they will, they was it left guard, right guard will get swapped. They're not afraid to do that. Same with your left end, defensive end. They like to move my roster around. Why can't they do some of their own dang roster? Get your mitts off my team. Worry about yourself a little bit.
Yeah, because you got it's stuff we do every year at position changes is, balance things out to where we have the best guys everywhere. And I don't know how that could be too hard to implement to have the computer automatically do that themselves.
again, it just they have to get better. Top players need to get drafted or get, excuse me, get signed by top teams. I hate that there's still 2-star and 1-star players still out there. I understand that they still exist in real life, but the ones that are in the game are, nowhere near what they should be. So to me, those should never be touched. So the CPU should not be touching them unless they are, trying to fill in a roster, and don't make them sign 35 players on their team if they don't need, if they only have positions for 20,
Right, which they do. I catch that a lot.
So again, it's just all around. It needs to be improved. But these are things that have been around since the beginning. Those aren't new. Those are the same logic from NCAA series. So again, it's not something that's it's something that needs a lot of attention, and it's not going to change overnight.
Earlier recruiting, this is kind of what I think one of the big themes that we've seen a lot looking around the forums and whatnot. They want to be able to go in, and the example I see and read is, scout high school juniors, if not earlier, offer them scholarships early on. I think realistically, it makes a lot of sense because that's what happens in real life. Personally, I do wonder how can EA make that fun, because we don't want recruiting to ever get tedious, not only for our sake to turn us off, but if casual people say, wow, recruiting is now I've got to go after juniors or sophomores in high school, because if they get turned off, we're not getting any advancements in recruiting. So it's one of those, if this ever gets added, EA has to find a fun way to do this. What are your guys' thoughts on offer earlier recruiting, like high school sophomores and juniors, for example?
To me, it shouldn't be the same recruiting screen as the current one. It should be you send your scouts out to go and look at these sophomores and juniors to try to identify them ahead of time, so that by the time that they're in their senior year of high school, you know more about them, that kind of thing. But you tell your coaches, these are the positions that we're most interested in, and these are, you kind of get some information, but you don't get. You don't learn everything about them and everything like that. So to me, like you said, it becomes way too much if you start adding it to the current recruiting section.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing about having it in a separate section. And then also, maybe you kind of start a relationship with them where it's, say they have these certain, how they have the priorities of their three categories or whatever, and say you are matching up with one of their priorities. And if you succeed in the following year, then that kind of likely gives you the likelihood of that guy being on your top t in the top 10 to start when he's ready to get recruited to the school officially. So I think it'd be kind of cool to be able to kind of build relationships to help you get into their top 10 initially for guys that you want to go after.
The one thing I will say is you shouldn't be able to do that with 500 recruits or anything like that. It should be limited to certain number of recruits. It should be only the top players from your, surrounding states or something like that. And you're not going to go and watch some, 2-star athlete, in the camp when he's a sophomore. So don't make it to where it's, everyone. It should just be select high profile players.
And there's so much with recruiting that the community has asked for. I make sure that we stress that this is not a final list of the field. This might not even be all the top items. One we didn't even get to tonight, the ability to flip recruits and decommits. And I'm not saying because they get locked, you get locked out and they go to the net a different school. It's in terms of Tommy, if say you and I are chasing a player, he gets missed to you. I think what the community sentiment is, they want to be able to keep offering that player. That way, they have a chance to manually make him flip in terms of the competition of, say, I went in there and took him from you. And I think there's also the part of it would help probably the stockpiling and going on from player to player is that if you had to still keep investing on a guy, that would prevent you from, saying, okay, now I can go fully invest on someone else. That I think it solves a couple problems at one time while adding in a fun feature. And that's another big one we didn't even get to that I think is going to go pretty far in the tournament.
No, absolutely. I mean, again, I don't know the exact way to do it, but at the same time, if I sign a 5-star in the first couple of weeks and then go 1-11 on the season, that 5-star is not going to stick around.
No.
I mean, or he shouldn't. So you should have the ability to say, look, they're losing games. Why do you want to go play for a loser? You should be able to come over here. There should be certain windows to where you can sway them to reopen their recruiting or something like that. And I don't know how that works. Maybe it's something you get an alert that's, hey, this opportunity's there. Do you want to take it? you don't do it, you can't do it every time, but you know, for certain players, you do it,
And
sort
maybe
of
there's only
thing.
a few, maybe it was only like 3 to 5 a year you can do it. But at
Right,
least I
exactly.
understand, because we don't want it to turn into babysitting on recruits either. But I suppose if the points just stay on them, it wouldn't be that difficult. But like you said, of course, with any of these items, yeah, we want people to say how they would like it to be done. But at the same time, if the focus on the theme, a lot of it's not to sound rude, but it's EA's problem. If the community, over years and years say they want a feature, that's EA's problem to figure out how to make it good. We're asking users to make design docs. What's the core things you want in a in said feature?
I think the sway should have options that are different than all the choosing of the categories. I think the sway should list some weaknesses that you want to try to exploit rather than I'm trying to sway him based on proximity to home again, you know? I think there should be some different things when you get in that battle and sway becomes an option.
Negative recruiting in some
Yeah,
regards.
absolutely.
Yeah, like, oh, you're going to be buried on his depth chart or. Oh, he's not going to pay you enough or something like that, you know?
Or that coach is going to leave. Like
Yeah.
he shows his
Yeah,
stuff and
he's
says
got a
he's not
foot
going
out,
to
he's
be
got a
there.
foot out the door.
So I think that kind of wraps up the big items in the Dynasty Wishlist tournament. Make sure you're following us at Gaming Tailgate on Twitter to vote once the polls start going live. It's worth mentioning that this game in general, there's a lot of quality of life issues that I don't think they're worth putting in the field necessarily, because that's almost their own thing. And trust me, we have those written down as well. There's, for example, I don't know about you guys, but the filters when you're going through sorting, like viewing leaders of any sort, it'd be nice if there's always a national option and always a user option. That would solve so much in terms of digging through and finding information, that it's a big quality of life thing. It's not worth having it being an entry in the field. But I think a lot of people, those are the kind of things they want in that aspect.
Absolutely. There's so much room for quality of life improvements. Just, it's simple one is navigating your roster. If you go too fast and press triangle, it's going to open the wrong player. You know, that kind of thing. It's small stuff that it's not going to like hurt sales if they don't fix it, but it's going to make you more frustrated and not want to come back as quickly if you don't fix it. So it's kind of one of those things that you make it to where you're not thinking about the flaws while you're playing the game. Make it to where you're just enjoying what the game is and thinking about all of the features that are there and, that you can enjoy those and not have to worry about of, the headache of trying to get to that enjoyment.
One of the things is people ask for, like, for example, when you're viewing your schedule or another team's schedule, to be able to hit triangle to see the other team's schedule. Or if you're on your schedule, hit triangle to see their players or stats. Or it's just like quality of life, if people don't know what it means. It's just, what are the really small things in terms of connecting it all together to make it a smoother experience, better experience? Like I said, it's one of those that if EA focused on a bunch of those, that would massively improve the title. Not to mention the new features. They're kind of a weird spot where there's almost, you could argue there's almost as many quality of life fixes necessary as there are big features necessary. Now, granted, I know one takes a lot more work than the other, but still, there's a lot on both sides that hopefully 26 will address.
Yeah, and that's the thing is most of these quality of lives are small things that they could easily implement. It doesn't take like your entire feature budget to be able to fix some of these things. Perfect example, like you said the, looking at the schedule to be able to see stats. How about looking at the awards winners to be able to see why they actually won the award? You know, small stuff like that. It's stuff that they've got to change. It's stuff that was in 14. It's stuff that's been there since, 07 or whatever year it was. It's been around for a long time, so it's things that they've got to be able to address.
So with that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast. Make sure to let us know how you would rate College Bowl 25. We got our scores. We want to hear yours. Make sure to check out the recap of the gameplay tournament. You can see that at thegamingtailgate.com. We have that in an article with all the results in the bracket available. And keep your eyes peeled at Gaming Tailgate on Twitter. Make sure to vote when that goes live. For Tommy and JB, I'm CDJ. Everyone, thank you for watching and listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast.